First, though, President Trump has continued his attack on parts of the US media by taking to Twitter again. He's tweeted a spoof video of him wrestling with a man with CNN, the television news channel's logo, for a head. Now, let me explain what you're about to hear. This is a clip from it. Yeah, not all that clear, but imagine hearing that, the president slapping somebody about with the CNN logo on their head. Well, our Washington correspondent, Laura Bicker, can explain better.
Well, CNN has taken the unprecedented step of issuing a statement condemning the president and saying that his tweet incites violence against reporters. They're backed by a number of journalist groups. Even some right-wing commentators believe on this occasion Donald Trump has crossed a line. But the White House said there's nothing to be alarmed about. The Homeland Security Advisor Tom Bossert said that this should not be perceived as a threat. But just consider this. On Friday, the White House press spokeswoman rounded on the press, accused them of not covering policy. But if you look at Donald Trump's Twitter habit, the one thing that he tweets about most often is about the press. He describes his Twitter habit as not being presidential, but being modern presidential. It may keep his base happy, but while it continues, it distracts from his agenda to make America great again.
Yeah, as Laura mentioned there, CNN itself says the president's tweet is inciting violence against journalists. CNN commentator Anna Navarro spoke on ABC News earlier.
This is just going way too far. The president of the United States is inciting violence against the free press. In America, we cannot stand for it. Nobody at CNN is scared. If anything, this is making each and every one of us more resolute not to cower at the bullying of this president. This is a free press. This is a free country. This is a democracy. For the president of the United States, who is supposed to be unifying this country, on a July 4th weekend, to be tweeting out incitement to violence. It is incitement to violence. Let us not parse words. Let us not call it by any other name. It is disgusting by this president. Yet one more disgusting act.
President Trump has since taken to social media again, saying the fake media is trying to silence us, but we will not let them. We won and they lost. The dishonest media will never keep us from accomplishing our objectives on behalf of our great American people. Let's speak to Republican consultant Matt Makowiak, who's with us, and also Paris Denard, who's a Republican political commentator, former White House staffer for George W. Bush. Paris, what do you make of Anna Navarro's claim there that this is another disgusting act by the President of the United States?
First of all, thank you for having me on the program. And I think with all due respect to Anna Navarro, I think that it's sort of like calling the kettle black, because in October of 2016, she said on CNN, and I quote, "I think Melania, for the good of the country, should try to smother him with a pillow when she sees him reach for that Twitter." So how in one breath, and also she called the president of the United States insane, which is an unfounded claim. So I don't know how in one breath she can say that this is inciting violence against the media when she's called on the president to be smothered, and that's a violent act by his wife. So I think, you know, we have to be careful about how we throw stones at other people and need to examine ourselves as it relates to how we are talking about this. But the one point is this: the president does not go on the attack. He always responds. And the media has, for whatever reason, been very personal in their attacks towards the president about his family, about his physical person, and about his people in his administration and cabinet. So he is just responding in kind.
It's always the, you know, which came first, the chicken or the egg. But you're not unduly concerned, are you, Paris, about the way your president spends his weekends when he's trying to make America great again?
No, I'm not concerned about it because I think that the American people know that what they put in office is someone who is going to fight
sure.
for them. And
but in which way? In which way do you think his the way that he spent the weekend on social media shows how he's going to fight for America and indeed make America great again and increase the jobs
yeah.
in America? In which way do you think his spending his time on social media enabled him to do that?
Well, I think there's two points, Dotton. One, this is the new bully pulpit in the 21st century in the age of Twitter. The president goes directly to the American people through his tweets. And the second point is this. In June, over two-thirds of the president's tweets concerning advocating for his policies and informing the American people about his presidency were done. He had about 160 tweets in June, over 120 tweets that dealt with policies and information that we want to hear about. So actually less than 20 of the more than 160 tweets of the president made in June had to do with media bias or things that weren't on policy. So I think it's, we, again, have to be fair on how we articulate how and how we report on how the president tweets. By and large, his tweets are based, are talking about moving America forward, putting America first, and advancing the policy agenda, be it health care, repeal and replace Obamacare, job creation, the things that the deal, what he's doing in sugar, with Mexico, the beef going, the exports that are going across the waterways. And so the president is an advocate for the people, and he uses Twitter to do that. But if we want to get down to brass tacks, less than 20 of the over 160 tweets in June had to deal with the media or media bias. Those are facts.
Matt Mikowiak, as a Republican consultant yourself, is the president winning the battle of the tweets or not?
Well, this message he posted about CNN has now been the second most retweeted posting in the history of Twitter. So if you just look at the attention it's gotten, you know, his team is probably thrilled with that. I think we know that the Trump White House team does very much like this battle between Trump and CNN. They think it is very good for his base. They think CNN is a ripe target. CNN has had a couple embarrassing incidents the last couple of weeks where they've had to retract a couple stories. They had to fire a couple staff who put some false information up. So it's a very ripe, they're a very ripe target right now. Now, that said, in spite of the statistics that Paris cited, which I think are compelling, I see some of this stuff as just very distracting. This is the stuff that gets the national media attention. That's just a fact. It's not what should be getting attention, but it is. It is what gets attention, and it's causing friction up on Capitol Hill for elected Republicans who really just want to work on the issues that they ran on. They want to, you know, partner with the White House where they have agreement, and they have a lot of agreement on major issues right now. This all distracts away from that policy agenda, and it makes a difficult job even more difficult. So I just would like to see a little bit more discipline, a little bit more focus. I understand why the president is lashing out the media. He's been treated more unfairly than any president in the modern era, if you look at how aggressively the media has gone after him from day one. Now, have they made mistakes? Absolutely they have. Have they brought some of this on themselves? Absolutely they have. But I understand why he's lashing out. I just don't know that it's doing much more than firing up 30 or 35% of the country. And you have to get beyond that. You have to get to a point where the majority of the country is behind you, and that's not where he is right now.
I'm surprised you say that you understand why a president of the United States is lashing out at the media. Surely the president has to have the thickest of skins. And I know this president has redefined the position over and over again. I do get that. And his idea that he's not presidential, but he's new presidential. I don't quite understand what that means. But would you not suggest that the president is above petty quibbling, if you like, about with the media or anybody else?
Yeah, look, I would agree with you that some of this stuff I don't believe is presidential. And we want our president of the United States to be someone who can rise above pettiness. And I think most presidents find a way to do that. I mean, both Bush and Obama generally did not follow a lot of political news coverage because they knew there was a lot of criticism and they knew that it would take them sort of down a road to nowhere. That said, I mean, Trump is facing more rabid opposition from the mainstream media than any president in the modern era. The only analogy would be Nixon. And that was a very different situation. So again, I understand why he's frustrated. I really do. Do I think that what they're doing is strategic? Do I think it's effective? Do I think it is building a majority to support their initiatives? No. And that's my concern, is I think it's making it harder for elected Republicans on Capitol Hill. And this is going to be a very important midterm election next year.
Paris, look, and when Matt mentioned there the comparison with Nixon, we'll all agree, brought it on himself in terms of the media attention that he got. To a certain extent, people might say that Trump brings it on himself. And whether we agree with that or not, certainly these latest series of tweets, not just this one, but the one that he had with the co-host of Morning Joe over the weekend as well, do suggest almost that the important things for this president aren't necessarily getting the job that he's been elected to do done.
Well, I think to your point, Dalton, I think one thing we have to take into consideration for your viewers overseas, what they're not seeing here in America is the fact that there was a Media Research Center analysis of ABC, CBS, and NBC evening newscasts from May 17th to June 20th. And from that time period, they gave over 353 minutes to Russia Comey investigation news, and less than 1 minute to tax reform, 3 minutes for infrastructure spending, 4 minutes for Afghanistan war fighting, 5 minutes on seeking better trade policies, 5 minutes on unveiling the new Cuba policy, 5 minutes on economy and the jobs, and 17 minutes on Obamacare repeal and replace, 29 minutes on fighting terrorism. So when you look at that, you have to ask yourself, is the media actually doing their job as it relates to reporting the actual news and substantive policies and things that's coming out of this Trump White House? Or do they have some type of vendetta as something that's coming against them?
They may do. And I take your point, Paris. They may do. But the media aren't elected officials, are they? They're not relying on taxpayers' money to support them. They're not, or at least to pay for their, if Mr. Trump takes his salary or not, to pay for his staff and so on.
They're not
in the same situation. And, you know, the media has always chosen its own agenda. I'm not defending the media, but here in the UK, you know, we have media featuring semi-clad women on the pages of their newspapers. That's not necessarily important in terms of a news agenda. And sometimes they choose politicians to attack. I accept all of that. The point I'm trying to get to with all of this, though, Paris, is at some point this president is going to be meeting world leaders who have got more serious things on the agenda. If they're seeing him tweeting away at the weekend and having a spat with some media people that don't really matter in the global sense of things, what are they going to make of your president? They're going to think less of him than they should, are they not?
Well, I think I don't think that the record so far shows that. The president has had a successful trip abroad when his first foreign trip was a success, and he was still tweeting. The president had a great deal of sending American beef overseas like never before. He tweeted about the deal that he's trying to broker with Mexico and sugar. I mean, so the Indian prime minister came over and invited Ivanka Trump to come over there. The German chancellor invited people from the administration to come overseas and take part in initiatives over there. So the idea he's going overseas by invitation in a few days. And so the people know what this president is facing, and he's able to tweet and do policy at the same time. This president comes from business, where he's had to work with international leaders and people all the time. And so they can cut through the rigmarole and red tape and understand that this is a new type of president who uses the bully pulpit of Twitter and 140 characters to drive his agenda. He brought pharmaceutical companies to their knees and brought them to their knees to bring down medical drug prices, prescription drug prices. And so they understand that this is a person who is effective in his media outreach, but is also effective in doing things that are best for the American people.
Well,
I think that they'll be able to understand that.
But he doesn't need the mainstream media, does he, Matt, in that case? It doesn't matter if the mainstream media are spending, you know, reams and reams of their front pages on talking about things that are not about the president's policy, because he doesn't need them. He has a wider platform on Twitter than most of those American newspapers put together.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. And I think that's a big part of why he likes to use Twitter is there is no filter. There's no one asking him a question. There's no one editing the interview. It's a very appealing platform to him. And he likes seeing, I think, how much attention all of this gets. You know, if you remember back in the campaign, he picked a lot of fights throughout the campaign as well, and he created a lot of controversy. And I think he found a way to survive that campaign in a way that was shocking to a lot of people, both in the United States and around the world. I think my biggest concern is that it's clear that he has been able to hold his base, 38% of the electorate. And that's good. You know, you lose your base, you're really in bad shape. But in order for him to be successful, he's got to expand his support in the United States. And that is where I do think he needs the mainstream media. And I think that it would be nice if they would, as Paris has said, just focus on policy, cover these policy debates. Is he following through on the promises he made as a candidate? Are people's wages increasing? Are jobs being created? Is the country headed in the right direction? You know, the basic questions that most people care about, you don't see as much coverage of those kinds of questions and those kinds of policy debates. Now, does the president sometimes make it easy for the media not to cover those things by creating controversies? I think he does. And that's, again, why I'd like to see him become more disciplined and more focused going forward.
How will it play out, Matt? Because this can't continue, can it, for the next 3.5 years or however long there is left of this presidency? How will it unravel?
Well, we don't know. I mean, it's part of what makes all this so exciting. It's a very unpredictable situation. I mean, obviously, the special counsel is continuing the investigation. That will at some point wrap up. Could be months, could be years. It's very hard to know. What is interesting is that we have a midterm election year that begins in January. And so there's really 5 more months this year for Republicans and the Trump White House to get a lot of big things done. That's why they're trying to move health care. They're then going to move to tax reform. You're going to see them try to get infrastructure done. Those are the big issues, and they have about 5 months left to do those things. If President Trump remains politically weak as we get into 2018, you're going to start to see Republicans try to distance themselves from him because they're worried about their own reelection. So, you know, in terms of his use of social media, you know, it's pretty clear he's not going to stop doing it. People have asked him, people have begged him, they've criticized it. He's going to do what he thinks is best. He very much likes having this direct way to communicate to people through this platform without any filter whatsoever. And so he's going to continue to do that. And Lord knows where it will all end up.
And what Matt said there, Paris, about Republicans distancing themselves from President Trump, you could argue it's already started happening because there are some people who are extremely uncomfortable, particularly about the personal attacks on the female host of Morning Joe. Are the enemies within more likely to be a problem for Donald Trump? Could he lose the Republican support quicker than he loses the support of, you know, his core base in other sections of the American society? Is that where his real issue is?
Well, that's a valid point to make, but I think that so far, you know, if you go from the time of the campaign where he had some harsh words for reporters and journalists that were both men and women, the American people still voted for him and still supported him. And then when you look at these 4 special elections that have taken place since the time he's been elected in November, the president and the Republican Party have won every single one of them, which shows that the people are still standing by and supporting the party. And Donald J. Trump is the leader of the party in this administration and the presidency. And so they're still passing legislation like Kate's Law. And as long as the president continues to talk directly to the people, have his base lined up behind him, I think the way that he gets above that 30, 38, 40% is by his actions and by being steadfast and having a winning record on trade, a winning record on jobs, a winning record on the economy, a winning record on tax reform, and hopefully a winning record on repealing and replacing Obamacare. So as long as he continues to produce and we continue to win, the stock market stays up like it has been, consumer confidence and all these other indicators are staying up, I think the president will make significant gains, but it's going to be upon his actions. Yeah, than his 140 characters and tweets.
Well, yeah, I'll be real with you, gentlemen. It's been a fascinating conversation, as well as a fascinating, 6 months or so with this president, I can tell you, from a journalistic point of view, even from over this side of the water. Hopefully we can tempt you both to join us again on Up All Night at some point in the future. Thank you for now.
Take care.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks to Matt Mikowiak and also Paris Dennard, Republican consultant, Matt. And Paris, who's a Republican political commentator, former White House staffer for George W. Bush.